So as the listener, I'm thinking, what's the fourth way?
The fourth way is make it about them.
Okay.
Shape and frame whatever you're talking about to be of value to your listener. At the Internet Marketing Center, you teach what's in it for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
When people visit a website, they want to see what's in it for me.
That's a radio station, you know.
What radio station?
It's WIIFM. What's
okay.
in it for me?
Oh, yeah. It is, actually. We should coin that one.
It's already been coined.
Someone's got it. WIIFM. That's good.
Yeah,
what's in it for me? Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
If you're talking and you're podcasting, it's got to be framed in a language that allows the viewer to see the benefits for them in their life.
Right. Right.
Not just you spouting off steam.
Yeah.
That cannot be understated.
Because so easy when we get up here just to let our egos go crazy, right? And
exactly.
We're especially great. Listen to me.
Well, no. Especially in podcasts. In our last podcast, I told you all the story about always leave them wanting more.
Yes.
That means have your audience in mind.
That's right. Have your audience in mind.
What kind of bite-sized chunk can they swallow during this podcast?
Yeah.
That they can go, oh, I got this out of it, and that was valuable. There's another thing that is important is understanding the way that an audience listens. If you tell a story in your podcast about something that happened to you or something that a friend of yours went through, whatever your content might be, the audience does not picture your story or your examples, nor do they judge your experience. If your story moves them, what happens in their mind is that they replay instances in their own lives in which the feeling of your story parallels their life experience.
I see.
It's important to understand that because a lot of people who tell personal stories feel vulnerable or anxious about it. But in fact, the gift is the level of vulnerability you expose in yourself translates to them, and they re-experience their own.
Hmm.
Their own personal challenges, triumphs, and successes.
Knowing that
makes it even easier to make it about them.
Yeah. Cool.
Now,
so what's the fifth way that we can eliminate stress?
You're keeping me on track, Scott.
Yes.
Number five is one that I'm very passionate about. It's train your voice.
Train your voice.
Train your voice.
Well, how can you train your voice? I mean, we just grow up learning how to speak, don't we? Do I need to train it?
Well, exactly. We grow up not so much learning how to speak. We grow up mimicking the speech patterns of people around us.
Oh, that's why everybody's got strange accents in different parts of the world.
Well, yeah, that's for sure. And we tend to think of the voice as something that happens in the brain and spits out the mouth. But in fact, your whole body is required to produce sound. Singers understand this, and actors understand this, and there is a body of work around the exercises that optimize the body to expressing the voice clearly and with resonance and with authority.
So it's more than just the vocal cord and your tongue and lips moving?
It's more than that. It's the whole body. It's your breathing technique.
Wow.
How the breath moves over the vocal cords. I mean, if you think about it, you don't speak, you only speak breathing out.
Yes.
So half of your breathing time, you're not speaking.
So we only talk half as much as we really think we do.
Yeah, that's true too. Optimizing breathing, like a swimmer understands what optimizing breathing is.
Right.
If the swimmer doesn't coordinate the breathing properly, the swimmer drowns.
Yeah. So, Jesse, are we going to do a podcast just on some ideas around training for the voice?
We'll do a special podcast just on specific exercises.
Because this sounds like there's a whole pile more that we're going to want to get into that we're not going to have time today to really talk about, and I think it's fascinating.
Exactly. It's also covered in great detail in a 100-page book, a CD, and a DVD called Develop Your Vocal Power.
Who wrote it?
I wrote that myself.
Oh, all right. So that sounds like something everybody here is going to want to get and listen to and read.
Well, you can all find out more about that at developyourvocalpower.com.
Excellent.
It was designed to be a home study course to take people through systematically all the exercises they need to have a resonant, easy-to-listen-to voice, where your own diction, your own vocal habits don't get in the way of conveying the content.
Cool.
So that's number five.
And so what's number six on our list?
Number six, train your body.
Oh, training the body. Of course, if the body is involved, we need to train the body.
Right. Now, people think of training the voice as opera singers and actors, and training your body, well, what do you do that for? You do that for sports, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you do weight training or work out at the gym or something like that. The full passion that you express comes through the active engagement of your whole body. If you're really excited by something, you'll jump and dance around and scream at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, absolutely. We see that all the time at sporting events when people win championships, right?
Yeah. If your team wins the Stanley Cup, we're speaking in Canada and hockey's big here, then you see rabid fans jumping around in the stands.
Yeah. Well, I was in New York speaking at the Internet Marketing Center's boot camp, and that weekend the Yankees won the title. So, you know, people were jumping up and down and just...
They were excited.
They were extremely excited.
But what happens outside of that area, outside of the area of sports fan, is that we limit our self-expression. A lot of people feel if they get too excited, they won't be taken seriously.
Right.
So the tendency is to shut down all the childlike enthusiasm, passion, and awe and wonder about life and report things in a very formal way.
Right.
Welcome to our voice broadcast. Today we will be covering 8 tips of making great podcasts. Does that sound interesting?
No.
No.
But you're absolutely right. Like, oftentimes when you meet people and you're in meetings, it's, you know, business-like is monotone and no emotion. Whereas, you know, when the passion comes out, that's when you move people.
Exactly. And yet there's a huge fear of sharing that passion and having it be visible.
Right.
For fear that we'll be laughed at or argued with or put down or one thing or another. And in fact, passion is what sways people to your side and your ideas.
Right.
And encourages them to take action. You can do that through training your body.
Yeah.
In public speaking, I continuously equate the energy required to doing an effective public speech to playing sports.
To what?
To playing a competitive sport.
Oh, okay.
The physical engagement. Tennis is a good one.
Yeah.
You play that one-on-one, and you're throwing the ball out to the audience, and they're throwing it back to you, and the energy just builds.
Oh, tennis is one of my favorite sports.
Well,
we're going to have to get into more on, you know, how we train the body, for sure, in a future podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What's